As Brother Carl mentioned, we have had many wonderful lessons from the platform this week. We've learned more about the spirit of adoption, to have patient continuance, the need to have the spirit of obedience. We've heard the importance of proclaiming the truth. We've heard about asking for a sign and considered when that is proper and not proper. We've heard about a new name, and we've been told that we're on the edge of a new age. We've heard about the call, that wonderful call that's only open for a short time, that high calling. And what a privilege to understand it, what a privilege to accept it, to know that it's a once-in-a-lifetime offer. We've been told that we will be expected to give an accounting of ourselves. We've heard of the promise of turning beauty for ashes. And we've heard about the crystallization of our character. We've heard a lot of wonderful messages from this platform. And during the course of this week, one theme has run through them all, a theme of vision, a vision of God's plan, a vision of God's promises. But we'd like to give you a reminder as we close this week's convention that when we leave this place, when we re-enter the mundane, quiet times where we were told our character will be developed the most, we're not leaving in a vacuum. There will be blessings and encouragements to take with us. But make no mistakes, dear brethren, there are opposing forces awaiting us. Enemies that would diminish the beauties of this week's fellowship if we allow it to be so. But thank God we're not ignorant of our enemies. The scriptures we have seen have clearly defined three great foes of the new creature. And we know them as the flesh, the world, and the adversary. In the sixth volume, Brother Russell suggests in the chapter titled Foes and Besetments of the New Creation that chief amongst these three is the flesh, the old man, the old will. And the reason he suggests that is because it's imperative for us to be single-minded in our Christian walk. The scriptures tell us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and we know that that's true. And the Apostle Paul clearly stated in Romans 8:13, if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. Very simple. But it's a daily activity, this activity of mortifying the body, of putting the flesh to death. The world, too, we know is a temptation to us. With its allurements, it's easy to get sidetracked with things that are flashy and things that seem like good causes. But we would suggest that of all these enemies of the new creation, the chairman of the board is the devil. And there's a good reason for suggesting this, and that's because of the three foes of the new creation. The devil is unique. And he's unique in two important ways. First is intent. The flesh and the world oppose the new creation with no malicious intent, no bitterness or hatred, but rather out of selfish earthly cravings that are out of harmony with God's righteousness and God's ways. The devil, however, is another story. Satan alone is the willful foe of the new creation. Satan alone opposes God, opposes the truth, opposes the followers of Christ. He makes the other two foes come alive. And because of this fact, it's important for us to realize the danger that he presents to us. And the second reason that he is unique is to remember that unlike the flesh and the world, the devil is a personal adversary. He's a being with extraordinary powers to deceive. It's interesting talking to friends, neighbors, your family about the existence of God and the existence of the devil. And I'm sure you've all done this. And some would tell you that they don't believe in God, but they do believe in the devil. Have you ever heard someone say that? And you know, if you stop and consider that without the Holy Spirit, it seems reasonable to take that position. For who could look around this world and see the pain and sorrow and suffering and dying and believe there is a loving God in charge and not an adversary, not the devil? But there are others who do believe in God and don't believe in the devil. These deny the very existence of Satan, thinking of him to be nothing more than an evil force. But make no mistake about it, dear brethren, the devil, Satan, is indeed a being. The scriptures are very clear on this. Listen to just a few of them. 1 Peter 5:8. Your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Does that sound like a force? Matthew 4:1. Then was Jesus led up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Does that sound like some empty power? John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. James 4:7, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 John 3:8 and 10, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Revelation 12:9 and 12. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels with him. 2 Corinthians 4:34. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual things of the evil one in the heavenlies. Job 1:6, there was a day when the sons of man came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. So you can see there are many, many scriptures that refer to this adversary as being a personal adversary, a personal being. Note the many references to Satan. He's a father. He had children. He was a murderer. He was a liar. He's the prince of this world. He's the god of this world. He was an angel. Now he has angels with him. Yes, the scripture made it very clear to us that this is one powerful being that is opposing us. This fact that Satan was once an angel is important for us to understand him better. And his very angelic name describes his character from the beginning and how it changed him. Isaiah 14:12 names this being Lucifer, son of the morning. Did you know that this is the only mention of Lucifer in the Bible? And it's interesting that they define the name for us, son of the morning. And can you imagine what a glorious being this must have been? God, who made nothing less than perfect, made this incredible angel whose name was son of the morning. He must have been magnificent. But interestingly, the name Lucifer comes from a root word which is halal, H-A-L-A-L, which means to be clear or to shine, hence to make a show or to boast. Other Old Testament uses of this root word, halal, or to boast, give us another understanding and a further understanding of the name Lucifer. Psalms 34, 1 and 2 read this way. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And Psalms 44, 8. In God we boast all day long and praise thy name forever. You note that this is a proper way of boasting, because it's boasting of the Heavenly Father. Now note the improper use of boasting, a boasting of oneself. Psalms 49:6. They that trust in their wealth and boast, same word, same root word, and boast themselves in the multitude in their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. And Proverbs 27, 1 and 2, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. This gives us a great insight into Lucifer. He could have gone either way. He could have praised the Heavenly Father and remained the son of morning. But instead he chose to praise himself. Turn with me to Isaiah 14. We're going to read verses 12 to 14, and you're familiar with this. Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning! How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Lucifer, son of the morning, or Halal, one who makes a great show, who boasts of himself. No, friends, make no mistake about it. Lucifer, son of the morning, is gone. And in his place is that great adversary, Satan. And Jesus made this perfectly clear for us when he told the 70 in Luke 10, 18, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. The name Satan has a completely different meaning than Lucifer. It means to attack. It means to accuse, be an adversary, an opponent, the arch enemy of good. And what does this adversary want? Brethren, he wants you. When Peter said, your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour, he wasn't kidding. Of course, we understand that he wants all of mankind, but mankind's an easy prey for this adversary, isn't he? His special prize, his special targets are the saints. Turn to Luke 22 with me. Luke 22. And verse 31. And here's Jesus speaking with our beloved Peter. There it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Brethren, do you ever feel like you're being sifted? A little lie here, a little deception there. we understand that Satan has been lying ever since that first lie to Mother Eve. You shall not surely die. John 8:44 proves this for us. And this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. And there he says, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Jesus wants us to understand the nature of this foe. And in Matthew 24:24, he told us that especially in the last days of this gospel age, Satan would be directing his attacks on the saints. Matthew 24:24. "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." This is our adversary. He would deceive us. False Christs, false prophets, great signs and wonders, little lies, little deceptions. How about a little deception to take with us from convention? You can hear it now. You have heard it said that there is a vision, and is yet for an appointed time. It will surely come. It will not tarry. But I tell you, the vision is not an appointed time. It surely will not come. It will tarry. Why, just look around at the world and see what's happening. Do you see evidences of a kingdom of God? Or do you see pain? Do you see suffering? No, no. You don't want to keep to that vision. Come where you can be some help. Get involved in your local hospital. Get involved in your local political action. You see how he works. These are the little lies he uses. And he would make dark appear light to turn just one away from the Lord. Yes, he's been active for nearly 2,000 years now, opposing the Lord's people, and he's as active today as he has ever been. But thank God, we know that his fate is sealed. God has no intention of allowing our adversary, the devil, carry on his deceptions forever. And we're told that Jesus himself will personally take care of this matter. Hebrews 2:14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." 1 John 3:8. "He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And Revelation 20:10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Yes, these are wonderful promises, that God will destroy this adversary forever. But what about today? Why mention him today at the end of such a wonderful week? Friends, we've been giving directions and instructions to resist the devil. But how do we do so? How do we handle such a powerful adversary in our daily consecrated lives? Again, thank the Heavenly Father. We've been given great assurances that we can resist his fiery darts. 1 John 5:18-19. "He that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the wicked one." 2 Corinthians 2:11. "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. No, we understand his devices, don't we? The Lord's opened our eyes to the way this wily foe works. And James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But how do we resist such a powerful adversary? Well, we would like to suggest 6 practical ways that we can resist this devil, this adversary of ours. The first is to acknowledge his existence and his goal of deceiving us. Acknowledge him. This is the same principle that the Apostle Paul sets out for us in regards to having faith to please God. You remember in Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse, he said, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And likewise, we must believe that Satan is, and that he is a deceiver of them who do not resist him. In other words, know your opponent. Know where he would be coming from. The second way of resisting this foe is to acknowledge his superior powers. Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual things of the evil one in the heavenlies. Brethren, if we were wrestling flesh and blood, we would have a chance. The powers of this evil one from the heavenlies has great power, superior to the ones that we can have in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3, verses 6 and 7. And this is addressed to those who would desire the office of a bishop. And it's addressed to those as being a good work. And that says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Implies knowledge. Implies being on the alert to this one. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. What a power that is. It's like now you see him, now you don't. He can transform himself into the best use that he can find. 1 Timothy 5, 14 and 15. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. That's the power that he has and can have over those he opposes. The key is to not to get overconfident nor complacent. Number 3, seek divine help because God's power is superior. Listen to this wonderful promise from Romans 16:20. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. His powers are greater than our adversaries. Acts 26, verses 16 and 18. These are Jesus' instructions to Paul. He says, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. I send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. You see what the power of God can accomplish. It's greater than the power of our adversary. It can turn him aside under the power of our loving Heavenly Father. 1 John 5, 18 and 19. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the wicked one. Spirit begettal is required. All the lessons we've heard this week support that. We need to develop the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit. We need to strengthen ourselves. We need to ask the Heavenly Father for help that we can resist this wicked one. In short, we could say that we know that God's power is superior to Satan's in 3 easy ways. First of all, God created him. Who has the more superior power? God has limited his abilities. You remember in the example of Job, God told him, go try my and test and tempt my faithful servant Job. But he limited what he could do because his power was superior to Satan's. And the third thing we know, the scriptures assure us that God's power will destroy Satan eventually. Number four, seek help from your brethren. They're under God's direct care. Just as Jesus told Paul, go and preach to the ones to turn them away from Satan, even unto God. Our brethren are in that position. Seek their help. Be around them. There's a saying that there's superiority in numbers. How much better to be here for this week, 500 plus brethren serving the Lord, rejoicing together, glorifying the name of the Heavenly Father, than being home alone. It encourages us. It strengthens us. Another way is to share common experiences and areas of attacks. Have we not all had personal experiences where we can see the adversary tempting us, trying us, pulling us? These are invaluable lessons to share with one another. Someone who's gone through one experience reacts much better the second time. Number five, regular self-examination. For the purpose of identifying areas of weaknesses in our characters that the adversary might attack. If you knew a thief was trying to break into your house, where do you suppose he would try to enter? You know he wouldn't try to go through a wall. He'd look for an open window. None of us are perfect or without faults. If we can recognize areas of weakness, we can work on them. We can strengthen them. We can make ourselves less vulnerable to the adversaries of attack. And finally, put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. We'd like to read those verses. Because this is an assurance and it's an encouragement that the Heavenly Father hasn't left us defenseless against this evil one. And again, we're familiar with these verses. They're beautiful verses. They're promises that build us up. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What a wonderful gift the Heavenly Father has given us to battle this powerful adversary. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is a study unto its own, the armor of God. It would be well for us to read this more often than probably we even do. Know what's included in the armor. Know why each item is necessary. And especially, know which personal areas are vulnerable that we might use this armor more efficiently. In summary, friends, we recognize that Satan is a powerful enemy of the new creature. We recognize that his goal is to turn us away from God and his righteousness. We know that his tactics are subtle, to place doubts in our minds. We know that resisting him requires spirit begettal and constant divine help. And we know that God's power is superior to the adversary's power, and superior to everyone's power. And Satan will be destroyed according to the promises of the Scriptures. Yes, as we leave this place, as we go back to our homes, may we be encouraged by the lessons we've learned this week. But may we also remember to use them faithfully and wisely, protecting ourselves, watching for the temptations that are sure to come, the temptations that will be put there by this adversary, your adversary, the devil. May the Lord continue to be with us. May we take the blessings of this week home with us and share them with those who could not be here, and to build one another up in our most holy faith. Amen.